traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome to the International Equine Network. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Sunshine Meadows in beautiful Delray Beach, Florida. Everything's going good here in South Florida. Weather's been kind of cool and nice. The horses have really liked it, especially, you know, all the show riders and the racehorse people. And, you know, it's just really been good. We couldn't have asked for any better weather. Been in the low 50s at nighttime and 70s and 80s during the day. So it's been really good. You know, that's why we like South Florida for our equestrian training through the winter. I'd like to welcome a new sponsor that we have this week. It's Florida Love, FloridaLoveAirboatTours.com. This is out of Boca Raton, and I tell you what, when you come down here and take a look at your horses and go out to the ocean and everything, you can take a little detour and go on a airboat ride in the Everglades and see all kinds of wildlife and just see what the Everglades are really about. It's a good company, good people. I know them for a long time. It's Florida Love, airboattours.com. And then we also want to thank our Sunshine Meadows support that I get here from Brandon Mills. We do a little bit of everything here at Palm Beach Downs and Sunshine Meadows and everything. And then next week we're going to have a little farm-related education minute. It's about composting your manure. We're going to try to get Brandon on to talk about his compost and what he does. And it's really been real successful. And there's just so many things that go along with the horse industry, you know, from transportation to feed to, you know, you name it, to veterinarians, blacksmiths, and everything. And if you go to our website, intv.org, you can see all the things that are related to the horse business, from food and you know, you name it, Walmart, you name it, we've got it on there. You just scroll through and see, take a look at it and see what it's all about. And that's where we're at. We got today, we've got the USPA Gold Cup. It's live on our website. One of the best polo matches you'll see all year long. It's really, really good. Then we've got America's Day at the Races. That starts at 3 o'clock. It's live racing from across the country. We got Oakland Park. We got Tampa Bay Downs. Let's see, who else do we have down there? We got a little bit of everything for everybody. So just go to our website and take a look at it. And now all the hubbub is going to be about the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby this year is going to be very, very interesting. And we had a lot of things happen in the last 6 months in order to how they get there, our documentary on the Kentucky Derby. And what's interesting about that is we looked at so many factors. First of all, there's a Derby prep race season that you have to qualify to get into the Kentucky Derby. It's 27 races across the country, and you get points, and the more points you get, the easier it'll be for you to get into that 20 stall starting gate there at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May. Well, one of the things that we talked about all year long was all the different factors about how you get into the Derby. The owner's got to take a look at his horses and see if he's going to invest the time and money to get into it. If the trainer recommends the horse to get in, you know, there's just so many decisions that have to be made, you know, on this thing. And it's getting crazy now because, like we've been saying all year long, you might have a good horse, you know, but you don't know if you're going to make it to that first Saturday in May because a lot of factors. And we're going to talk about three of the factors right now. The main factor is you got to have the horse to get into the Derby. He's got to prove to the trainer and to the owner that he can, you know, stand that kind of competition, that he can get on that journey to the Derby and make it. So once they decided that, then they got to decide how they get there. Do they go through Arkansas, Kentucky, New York, Maryland, California, Florida. You know, how do they get their horse there? And ideally, what you would like to do is be able to keep your horse in the same state all the way up to the Derby, because each state has quite a few races that are Derby eligible points are being awarded for if you win. And that's what's really good, you know, as you start to decide those things. Like here in Florida, we got the Fountain of Youth coming up this weekend. You know, we got the Florida Derby, the Tampa Bay Derby, the Sam Davis over at Tampa in the Tampa Bay Derby. You know, then you got Hot Springs, Arkansas, and then you got New Orleans, and you got all kinds of places you can go. And most of the trainers pretty much have decided to stay, and they're at their home base, like Hot Springs or like Santa Anita, to get their points. So, having said that, and everybody making their decisions, the weather plays a big factor. The weather plays a big factor in what they do. And I know that at Santa Anita, they had some weather issues this week and had to move some races around from one day and from a couple days apart. And, you know, it's just always something, but everybody's affected by the weather. Who has the best weather? It's hard to say. You know, Aqueduct, it can be good in the wintertime, and it can be bad. So all the tracks can, even Gulfstream down here in Florida, in Tampa. And so that's one of the things that, you know, that factors into all these things now that they're trying to get ready for the Derby. How do they get there? Well, let me tell you, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting this weekend, because now we're down to the point to where the points really count. You got to make sure you got enough points to get in. And we've got 60 days before the Kentucky Derby. 60 days. And you could race a horse once, maybe twice in that 60 days, but highly unlikely to race them twice. And that's going to be the difficult part that these owners and trainers have now. I tell you, when you start going down the road and looking at everything that they've got to go into, where they got to run at, how many points do they need to get? See, that's the other thing. You know, you might need to go somewhere to run to get points. The point system is very crucial. And so now we're looking at, you know, we've come through a lot of races. Sunland Park Derby, Stronghold win that. Sam Davis was won by No More Time. The Withers was run by Uncle Heavy. And now, so, you know, you're looking at these horses. These are horses that just popped up that weren't even on the radar. And so now we got coming up here this weekend. We got the John Battaglia Memorial. It's a mile and a 16th. 150,000 added, and has Derby points on March the 2nd at Turfway Park. Now, that has not been a race that's been noted for sending any, you know, tough Derby winners out of it. Few and far between, you know. So you're looking at that, and they got a full field. That's going to be a full field there for the John Battaglia. Then we have coming up here on March 2nd, the Fountain of Youth, $400,000 added. It's at Gulfstream Park. It's a mile and a 16th on the dirt. Derby points involved. Now, with it being March 2nd, the next possible race, if you needed points to go in, would be the Florida Derby, and that would be coming up pretty quick after that. I think that's like on the end of the month there. So that's what they're looking at. Yeah, you're looking at, let's see here, Florida Derby is going to be March 30th. You know, so you're looking at 30 days. That's a tolerable thing. And it's got a lot of points. You know, you get a lot of points when you start doing things like that. So now I'm sitting here thinking, like, where are they going to go from there? Got the Fountain of Youth, the Gotham Stakes is coming up March the 2nd. It's at Aqueduct. You see a good group of horses there. You've got the San Felipe that's coming up, and that's March the 3rd. And this, the San Felipe at Santa Anita, five horse field. three of the horses are Bob Baffert's. Bob Baffert's can't, those points don't go to anybody because Bob Baffert can't run in the Derby. And you're seeing a lot of this out in California, a lot of these races out there, four or five horse fields, six horse fields, you know, and what they're, what's going to happen with Baffert's horses? His owners did not take his horses, their horses away from Bob because he couldn't run in the Derby. His owners stuck with him and said, you know, we're going to stick by you. You know, we don't need to run in the Derby, basically is what they said. And that's kind of a, you know, irritating thing. I mean, I don't know any owner that would pass up the Kentucky Derby. I'm telling you, if you're that loyal to your trainer, you know, and you're going to pass up for the Kentucky Derby, God bless you. Because I tell you, that's one thing that you only get a chance in a lifetime, you know, to run in the Kentucky Derby. They may never, ever, ever see a horse like that again to get into the Derby. You know, so, you know, God bless them. You know, stay loyal. That's all I can say. And watch it on TV. But we got a lot of races out there like that, five horse fields. You know, three of them are Baffert's horses. And then you turn around and you go up to, like, Turfway, and they're going to have 14 horses. You know, and that's the tough part. So, you know, this plays a lot into the point system because the points that those horses get in the, would get in the San Felipe are not going to, you know, get them into the Derby because they're not eligible because they're with trainers Bob Baffert. And so now these points aren't, they're not divided up and distributed to anybody else. Once those horses run, those points are gone. They're gone, and they either go to a horse that can get into the Derby, you know, or they're gone. You know, that's the long and short of that. So now you got the Battaglia Turfway. You've got the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream. All top races. You know, they're kind of whittling them down to here in the next 30 days. We'll know who the 20 are that are going to the Derby. And, you know, we'll see a lot of that happening. And then going back to Baffert's horses, what Bob's doing is he's running all these pre-Derby races, and he's keeping these horses all in sync. And I'm telling you what, you might see Bob Baffert had seven or eight in the Preakness this year. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, he's going to have quite a few for the Preakness because that's what he's looking at. He's looking at all these secondary races outside the Derby. And, you know, we've seen a lot of guys that have horses on the turf and at this time, and they might try taking a shot at the Derby, you know, getting some qualifying points. But I tell you what, it's going to be a heated battle this summer up at Saratoga. I tell you what, you're going to see a lot of guys that were on the road to the Derby that just couldn't quite get the points to get there. And so they're backing off. They're backing off. And you're going to see a great meet Maryland at Pimlico. You're going to see a great meet at Saratoga. I mean, it's going to really be good, but that's the hardest part of the training is where do you take your horses to? You know, and these guys right now getting ready for the Derby, there's few and far, races left to make your points to get into the Derby. I mean, it's going to be tough. You know, the Gotham's coming up at Aqueduct on March 2nd, San Felipe March 3rd, and Tampa Bay Derby March 9th. And that's pretty much going to be these horses, and the John Battaglia. That's going to be pretty much those horses that are running in there. That's going to be their last hoorah, you know, to get points. Because everything else, you know, is 30 days away. And, you know, it's going to be tough. You know, they're going to have to pick and choose where they're at. Used to, you'd be able to, if you didn't, before they had the points, it was a money thing. And it was really, really something that was really different, you know, to try to make all that money to get in because the purses weren't really that big like they are now. You know, like the Louisiana Derby's coming up. That'll be March 23rd. The Jeff Ruby at Turfway is the 23rd. The UAE Derby, which is a Maiden Racetrack, that's March 30th. Florida Derby, March 30th. Arkansas Derby, March 30th. Bluegrass Stakes, April 6th. Santa Anita Derby, it will be April 6th also. And the Wood Memorial is the last chance. And then the very last race you can try to get in would be the Lexington. It's a mile and an eighth at Kingland. So, you know, you're kind of limited in what you can do here over the next, 60 days. And so now, if you're struggling to find a place to go, you're getting in with the heavy hitters. You're getting in with the big guns. You know, you're going to see full fields with the exception of California. In California, you're not going to see, you see a handful of horses that will be at Santa Anita for the Santa Anita Derby. And then, that would be it from there on. But I'm telling you, folks, it's tough being in the horse business. You got to manage your horses right. You got to make sure that your horses are healthy and safe. You got a good program going. There's some trainers out there right now who think they might have a shot, you know, to get in there because they've been doing everything that's been asked of them, but at a lower level. You know, they've been right on that edge. And some of these guys could come in here and jump up there and steal an Arkansas Derby or a Louisiana Derby, you know, that type of thing. I mean, they could jump in there doing, man, that really throws everything in disarray. Because these guys now, if they come up, let's say they come up, a long shot comes up and wins the Arkansas Derby or the Louisiana Derby or the Florida Derby. You know, everybody's saying, oh, wow, you know, I did good there. Maybe I'll go on to the Derby. And that's what they really want to do. And sometimes that clouds their thinking. But then other times, you know, maybe you're just a little bit behind schedule with all these other horses. You can find a good undercard race to race at one of the tracks around and prepare for the Preakness. So they can do that. And, it's so many decisions that have to be made. And I'll be honest with you right now, when they come out with the Derby Dozen, that Derby Dozen will be completely different after this weekend, completely different. You're going to see a lot of the horses that are running like at Turfway. They're not. You won't see them, in a Derby or any of the other Florida Derby or anything like that. They'll be getting ready to, you know, race a lot of undercard racing. And that's the tough part. You know, everybody wants to win the Derby or the Preakness or the Belmont. But when it comes down to it, if you're a businessman, do you follow your heart or do you follow the numbers? You know, and if you're in the horse business, you got to go with the numbers. I mean, you really do got to go with the numbers because that's what makes you survive, allows you to survive in the business, to pay the bills. You know, everybody dreams of being in all the big races, the Derby, the Breeders' Cup and all that, but it just doesn't happen, folks. You're going to be looking at 20 of the best horses in the country on the first Saturday in May. Because they've been prepared properly, they won the proper races to stamp their ticket to the Derby, and then when you get in that starting gate, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who the sire is, who the dam is, who the trainer is, who the jockey is. It doesn't matter. It's all that horse. The first time that you run the Derby and you're coming down the stretch, you come out of that gate. The first time you go down. In front of the clubhouse, that's your jockey, that's your horse, that's your trainer running right there into that first turn. Then down the backside, they start, you know, separating. And when they hit the head of the stretch to run down the home stretch at Churchill again, that's their mama and daddy running. That's the sire and the dam running, all its bloodline thrown in together and coming down the stretch to the finish line. That's where it separates the horses from the people. And I tell you, it's so exciting to see that. But, you know, that's something that you can't do. Either you got it or you don't. But, you know, like up at Turfway, for example, this is a good race. And it's a nighttime race. It's at 8:25 p.m. So you're already out of the sink, knocking your horse out of sink. That's used to training early in the morning and working early in the morning. You know, so that kind of starts their schedule, messing with their schedule, as they say. But Brad Cox has got Gettysburg Address. That's a nice horse in there. I tell you, I like him. You know, there's a horse in here that I thought nobody had looked at. And I'm telling you, this horse is going to be a factor. I'll say a factor. You know, his name is Encino. He's a Brad Cox trained horse. I don't know much about the Concepcion. That's a jockey. I don't know much about him. But you know, he's a nice horse. This Encino, and see what happens. But you know, like I said, it's a 14 horse field there. That'll be 12 in the gate for sure, and two eligible, also eligibles. You know, so you got to look at that. It's an all weather track. It's a mile and a 16th, and it's at nighttime. So you know, like when you're getting ready to run in the Derby, you like to keep everything consistent because horses are creatures of habit. You know, and that's what they do. And so I was thinking that, you know, the Battaglia, you know, come on, that's at 8:25 at night. That just throws your whole schedule off. You know, you're looking at 12 horse field. You're going to look at cold temperatures. You know, there's a lot of things that horse is going to have to face. So, you know, we want to see. But just looking at, and there's another horse in here, Blue Eyed George. He could be a real big threat in there. A total of 42 Derby qualifying points will be awarded to the top five finishers on a sliding scale of 20, 10, 6, 4, and 2 in the Battaglia, which is held at a mile and a 16th on an all-weather Tapeta track in Turfway Park in northern Kentucky. Right now, they're looking at one of the horses that could be the favorite is Gettysburg Address. He's done well enough in his previous stakes tries to be a big factor here, but they were on dirt. This will be his first race on all-weather surface, making him a question mark. Well, let me tell you something. Like I'm saying before, nighttime, cold weather, Tapeta track, first time. See, there's so many things that these horses go through, you know, to see what happens. You know, with it. You know, I just, some of the times I wonder what these trainers are thinking. We got Mr. Faversham, 30-1. He won a maiden claimer over the track in his career best time. Seems capable of being a factor here. You know, so we don't know much about the horse, what he's going to do, how he's going to react to it, but it's home turf. It's on his home turf, so he knows where he's at. Bolt at Midnight has stepped up since moving to Turfway. Looked good in a maiden win and main contender if he takes a step forward. But how do we know if he's going to take a step forward until the race is over? You know, well, we should have bet on him. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see here. We got a horse here. His trainer, John Enos, is the trainer. His name's Epic Ride. Showed keen early speed in winning the stakes race over the track there at Turfway. Could be hard to catch here, but it's likely to face more early pressure in the longer race. See, that's another thing, too. When do these horses start feeling the pressure? You know, when they're going through, you know, they're prepping for the Derby. See, again, like I said, and I've been saying this all year long, there's so many factors in horse racing that it's hard to predict who's going to win. You know, there's just so many things that are out of our control, like the weather, the track, the jockey, you know, the heat, the cold, everything. That's going to be tough to see. There's a horse that people have been talking about on the backside of the track. It's called Epic Ride. Showed early speed and you know, winning at the track there. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. But the horse I really do like is Blue Eye George. He rallied to finish second by four lengths to Epic Ride, the horse we just talked about, and could benefit from pace, pressure, and distance, allowing him to turn the tables. Now, you see, that those are the kind of things that I look for, horses that are closing. And you know, people get misled on TV because they see a horse. Oh, you know, he's closing down on them. Well, you got to remember, those horses that are up in front of him, they're not accelerating away from the field. They're getting caught by the field. And they're just, those horses are tiring that up front. So we're going to kind of see what happens here. One horse that I was thinking about, called Mission Ready, an allowance winner over the track. He should like the added distance, could be interesting at the right price, as the professionals say. But, you know, all these horses we're talking about now have been stabled there at Turfway. That makes a big difference in this race. This is what makes this race so even. You got horses that know the track, that train the track. You know, they're in sync. That's part of their daily routine. You know, so they're not shipping in from anywhere. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, there's this one wild shot that I think it would be Blue-Eyed George and Mission Ready. Mission Ready is a horse that I don't know how to describe the horse. He's a horse. You know, he's got the look in his eye that he can come out and say, oh, my goodness, I think I'll win me a race today. See what they do. He's an allowance winner over the track again, you know, stable there. He'll like the added distance, and he's going to be at the right price. You know, so that's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. You know, we don't have any big gun jockeys that are up there, you know, to ride in the Battaglia. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Joe Talamo is probably the biggest name up there, I would think. But it's going to be easy to see. He's riding a 20-to-1 shot. Now, I've got to quit talking about odds. I don't like doing that in here. But, you know, so that's one of those races that, you know, people might stack some points to get in, help them out down the race. But now we're getting into the big races. We got 9 weeks before the May 4th Kentucky Derby at Churchill. I tell you, it's going to be heating up now for sure. One of the things that I've always liked was the Fountain of Youth and then the Florida Derby. The timing's just the right way to get there. They're good quality races. You usually have good weather. You know, it's a real good place to prep your horse. And what I like about running the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby is that the fact that when they get through running the Florida Derby on the 30th of March, you got basically, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, you know, before the Derby. And this is a great place for them to recover. You know, the weather's good. It's consistent. It's what they're used to. You know, so I always like that. And a lot of good horses come out of Florida here, you know, going up like Always Dreaming won the Derby, Super Saver. You know, you got quite a few horses that have done that, you know, out of here. Then the other derby, we've got four derby races, qualifying races this year. It says of the stakes races this year, the Fountain Youth would have proved to be the most likely to produce a derby winner. The great part because NYOS, NYSOS, and two other Bob Baffert trainees in the San Felipe are not eligible. Now, see, that just goes to show you right there that, you know, Bob's got great horses and everything. That's for sure. You know, but where would he be running with them, you know, if he was going for the Derby? You know, we don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. And so that's got me puzzled. So I think the Derby winner will come out of a Gulfstream. It's going to be interesting to see. The Fountain of Youth, we're looking at Dornich and Locke. The 1 and 4 Blood Horses Derby Dozen, which that Derby Dozen is going to really change big time this weekend. On Monday, we're going to see how big it changes after all these races. we got some promising colts there in the Fountain of Youth. There's a horse called Speakeasy. He's good. Locked, Todd Pletcher's horse, looks good. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know where these horses come from here, and how they run. Dornish and Locke both kicked off their season Saturday. The latter, in a delayed return after being set back, kept him off his work tabs for a few weeks. After he had been originally pointed towards the Sam Davis at Tampa Bay, he got off schedule. Dornish, the son of Good Magic, full brother to 2023 Derby winner Maj, improved really good over the last few months. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. You know, he's experienced. He has a lot of good competition as a two-year-old at Monmouth Park and at Saratoga over the summer. You know, it's really good to see him coming along. You know, I tell you, like I said, I'm really going to be so confused until after this weekend, because I didn't realize how many good horses we had still on the sidelines that are up there. Oh man, I tell you, it makes a wild difference. You know, when you're looking at these horses now, because you got to look at them in a whole different light, is what you got to do. And then the Speakeasy will run in the Fountain of Youth for Todd. Let me tell you, it's a nice horse. He's growing. He's learning a lot. And, you know, I'm sitting there, I was looking at him in the winner's circle in his debut, and the jockey got a smile on his face from ear to ear. I'm telling you. Pletcher confirmed that Windstar's farm and Sienna Farm Speakeasy will be withdrawn from an allowance race, optional claiming race March 1st in favor of the highly anticipated $400,000 Fountain of Youth. So whatever he did and how he's doing has made a big difference, because they decided to get out of that claiming optional and throw him in here with, you know, in the Fountain of Youth to get his points. He drew the rail and post position in the Fountain of Youth. He will face 8 other 3-year-olds in the mile and the 16th prep race for the $1 million Florida Derby. The other 3-year-olds in the mile and the 16th prep race are fairly well good. They're bred well, trained well. It's going to be interesting to see how this all comes up, because, you know, at this stage and point, the trainer's got the toughest job in trying to figure out where they're going to go. Now, you know, Speakeasy, for example, let's say he runs good Saturday. He runs good, and he proves himself that he's that type of horse, but he just might not be ready yet, you know, to get up into the Derby. So, you know, then you start playing around, well, where do I go next with him? You know, do I go to, like, you know, the Florida Derby, the Arkansas Derby, the Wood Memorial, you know, different ones like that. You know, or do I get him ready for the Preakness? That's the tough one. And when you got to sell the owner and skipping over the Derby and going to the Preakness, hey, you know, what can you do? You know, that's part of the job. But I tell you what, this is a good race. Todd's got Locked in there. He's got Speakeasy in there. It's a 9-horse race. There's some good horses in here. I'm telling you, really good. But nothing super outstanding. They're all in the same boat. And this is one of those races that you could literally see 5 or 6 of these horses at the Preakness in the end of May. So it's going to be interesting to see there. It's a 9-horse field. These old boys are going to be running for $400,000 at a mile and a 16th. And the post time is 6:10 p.m. Eastern time. Then, you know, look at Aqueduct. Aqueduct, well, I tell you what, New York is really getting some big horses, big guns up there. We got at Aqueduct, the Gotham Stakes is at 5:36 p.m. Eastern Time. We got a 13-horse field, and this baby is loaded. Todd Pletcher has got a nice horse in there. He'll be running. He's got Eliminate in there. He's got two horses in here. And then Kinate, which is Todd's horse. Christoph Clement's got a real nice horse in Deterministic. Doug O'Neill coming in from California with Facenda. Then Brad Cox, boy, he comes up with him. Air Clay is a horse that he good, you know. But other than that, I don't really see, an outstanding one in this group either. They're all pretty good. They're all about evenly matched. They've all been on kind of like the same training schedule, which is unusual to see. They kind of go the same roads, but never, pass each other going to the track to train, and that's about it. But again, at San Felipe, I get frustrated as a horseman to see, a race of this nature going on like it is. I just don't like it. I really don't. Because anytime you take quality horses like this, and the track can only get five horses in there for a $300,000 race, I don't understand that. I just do not understand that. There's only two horses in here that could get any Derby points. It's John Sadler's horse and Cherie's horse. That's the only ones that they can get in there. So those points are gone down. When you look at the race, it's a $300,000 guaranteed race. $180,000 goes to the winner. $60,000 goes to for second. $36,000 for third. So Bob Baffert could literally take all the money out of here. It's like I said, it's a five horse field, and basically, what it would be. It's a public work. It's a public work for these five horses is what it is. It's not a horse race. It's a public work. They're going to take them out and see what they can do. It's going to be interesting to see. But I think Bob's doing the right thing. He's getting into this thing. It's 1 mile. It's a mile. It's a good prep race, a good workout. Perfect for getting ready for the Preakness. It's going to be interesting to see what goes on with it. But, I don't understand the racetracks. How can they get more horses to a $300,000 race? They need to do that. This is going to be a good barometer to see, how these horses are progressing for Bob, where he's going with them. And we know he's not going to be at Churchill in May, but where else is he going? Is some other track's going to be getting him there? I just don't understand. So enough about that. But I'm always thinking money for these horses. I'm always thinking money. And I got a newsletter today from the New York Breeds Association, Breeders Association. The New York Equine, and now this is, every state has their own, setup, and show you how important, like we're always talking, this is to the economy and to our people, where we're at. Like here in Florida, it's huge. We got so many show horses. We got so many people racing and breeding and it's just one of those deals. New York equine industry grows to $7 billion economic impact. And you think about that, $7 billion. According to the New York State Equine Economic Impact Study, a breakout study from the American Horse Council and National Study, New York equine industry contributes $7 billion to the state's economy and has a total employment of 52,319 jobs. These figures document the growth in the economic and employment impact since prior study was conducted in 2016. At that time and point, it was $5.3 billion and 42,000 jobs. So they've increased significantly dollars, but even more so employment-wise. The economic impact figures land New York in the top 10 states for equine economic impact and reinforces the importance of the New York State equine industry as a significant contributor to the overall economy of the state. You know, and I've been saying that all year long, the economic impact that it has. These are the people that in New York, they're riding the subways, they're going to the Burger Kings, they're renting apartments, you know, driving cars, doing everything. And that's why it has grown. The economic impact comes from spending on the horse itself, including feed, veterinarian care, training costs, boarding costs, riding supplies, etc., as well as spending related environment involvement with the equines themselves. Those related expenditures include land, buildings, tractors, trucks, fuel, oil, and taxes. Always got to get them taxes in there. You know, I got to thinking about this the other day when they looked at Belmont and Aqueduct and Saratoga. Saratoga is a stable. I mean, it's a given fact. Every year people are in and out of Saratoga. They go up for the racing, you know, and it's just jam-packed every week. And then the Racing Commission came in and went to the state and said, look, we need to refurbish Belmont Park. We got to keep up with the times. And so they looked at it and they evaluated it and they all gave their opinions. And next thing you know, hey, they're rebuilding, you know, Belmont. They're making it fan friendly. They got the hockey team arena there. They got, you know, it's going to be a sporting venue. And that's going to be really good. They, you know, they can get people and they're making it fan friendly for families, you know, and all the people to come out. So this is good. And then you turn around and you look at what Churchill has done. You know, they revamped it because their economic impact is huge. Then you look what they did at Ellis Park. They upgraded Ellis Park. Keeneland's getting ready to get an upgrade. And so all the things they're doing are going to draw more people into the communities at all times of the year. Like the museum they have at the Kentucky Horse Park. Really a nice thing. You can go in there and you can see everything about all breeds of horses in there. You know, and that helps for the economic impact. Here in Florida, you can go up here to Lantana and see the Polo Hall of Fame. You know, and then you've got Gulfstream Park and you've got Tampa Bay Downs. You got Wellington, the showgrounds up at Wellington, the Winter Equestrian Festival that's going on now. But there's just so many things, you know, that you look at and you don't really realize it until you start seeing it in black and white. You know, you see how much money it costs and, you know, what they're doing for the community. And, you know, it just really makes you think about it. You should really get out and, you know, get involved in it. Just Google equine, Google horses in your area, and you'll see what all you can have, you know. And so that's always good to do. But the economic impact is tremendous. And one of the things that I like that helps the economic impact is this year we have 396 trainers have been accepted for the Thoroughbred Makeover competition. And what they do is they take racehorses off the racetrack and they teach them a second skill. It might be dressage. It might be, you know, stadium jumping. You name it. It could be anything. They get them into a different thing. They're providing a showcase for the horses that are participating, that serves as an inspiration point to encourage more equestrians to get involved with the breed. The competition is open to professionals, amateurs, juniors, and teams, all competing on an equal footing with racehorses that are raced and trained within the past 2 years. This is the greatest thing in the world, is to see these horses come off the track and you know, they're just not getting thrown out to pasture. They're out there and they're doing some good things. And they're showing, they're jumping, they're doing dressage. You name it, they're doing it. We got a lot of thoroughbreds that are our lead ponies on the track, our outriders, you know, with the outriders. I got a lot of thoroughbreds that play polo. And, you know, the funny thing about it is the accepted for the thoroughbred makeover, and there's another organization, the Aftercare. So you got all these horses that are actually creating jobs when they retire. And you don't see that happen too often when a person retires, you know, like we do from, a business or, you know, school teaching or what have you. Very few of those retirees go on to produce things that create income, you know, for our economy. And so I'm so happy to see these horses come out, and I've seen a lot of them that I knew on the racetrack. And I'm telling you, when I see them now and go up and look at them, and they're just, you know, as happy as they can be. And we got one horse that's out, and his name's Kingsley. And he's off the track, and all the kids just love him, you know. And he's a big show horse. He knows when you're coming around to look at him, you know. He stands up with his head up in the air, and you know he's good with the kids, and he's very talented, and he learned. The learning process has been accelerated for him by Victoria Jackson, the trainer. And this horse is going to turn out to be a good show horse someday. You'll see him in the papers. And but that's what I like about these organizations. They turn around, they help things go good. And then last but not least here, people are trying to keep horses at their track, the different tracks are. And we're looking at Canterbury Downs. There's something else. They're always thinking. They're seeking to rebound from the 2023 season with a diminished field size and handle at Canterbury Downs. So what they're doing now is they're going to have a 54-day meet, and they're doing a prepaid starter incentive program to entice trainers to race in Shakopee, Minnesota track. And what I like about this is it gives a guy to, and it helps your employees too, and it helps the community, because if you commit to this program, then you're going to be going to Shakopee for at least 60 days. And that's good for the grooms and everything, because they don't have to pack up and go anywhere, you know, stay in one spot for 60 days. And I said, open bred horses arriving from the furthest point of origin will be eligible for a $1,500 Minnesota breds to come to the track and run. Minnesota breds will get $750 for each start they make and would be eligible for $1,500, at the end of the day. According to Canterbury, the incentives for trainers can be worth as much as $37,500 for the 60 days. That's pretty good. That's like winning a nice little allowance race. The funds would be paid upon arrival at Canterbury Downs to the approved trainers who have submitted the list of horses intended to start at the thoroughbred races during the May meet, summer meet, May 18th through September 28th. So, you know, that's pretty good when you can go into a track and then that's where you start off at, you know, with $37,000 in your account. Well, that adds up pretty quick. You know, that adds up real quick. You know, again, they're always looking to get people in to the tracks, take care of the horse from the people and everything. The Maryland Million Day for October 12th at Laurel Park, that's going to be a big thing. You know, I tell you, I always liked Maryland. But you get up there and, you know, you think you're going to come in there and steal some money in Maryland, you're not. There's some good races up there, good horses, good horse people. You know, they got a good offering. And their economic impact to the horse industry in Maryland is $885 million, while the impact of the Maryland horse industry as a whole is $2.9 billion. So, you know, we're sitting there, we're looking at all these different tracks and making all this money in the economy. And, you know, that's a lot of money, you know, that they're making out there. You know, I'm glad to see it. It's good for our industry. It's good for our livelihoods. And a lot of people now are staying, you know, at the track to train, you know, like here at Gulfstream. We race year-round here at Gulfstream. And let me tell you, that goes a long way when you're trying to find good help. When you're trying to find a real good help that, you know, that will be, you know, an asset to your organization and your program. You know, when you come down there and say, hey, Mr. Jockey, hey, Mr. Groom, how'd you like to stay in Miami year-round and get a good salary? You know, and work with good horses. That's really good, you know. And that's the whole thing. It's about the economic impact of our industry, and it's taken a lot of years for the tracks, for the owners, for the trainers, and for just the general, you know, equine personnel to realize that, hey, I need to get good money, and I need to stay in the same spot, you know. And that works out pretty good, because if they got something to lose at that job, you know, then they're going to be good workers and all. So, that, you know, that's where we go with them. The horse business is a crazy business. It's a good business to be in. It's packed full of tradition. If you go down to the website, intv.org, and you go and you'll see the tradition that they have in polo. You'll see the tradition that they have at the Kentucky Derby with the food. And same thing at the Preakness and the Belmont. Now we got recipes on there. We got a little bit of everything, you know. I tell you, it's a great, great business to be in, but it's an entertaining business to be in. And one thing I like about it, you really don't have to know a lot about the horse industry to go out and experience the equine experience. You don't have to do that. You can go up to the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington and take that tour, and you can see all breeds of the horse industry. You can watch people shoe the horses, get their shoes on them. You can see some of the dressage and stadium jumping that they do. You can see how they're fed. You can see a little bit of everything. That's at the Kentucky Horse Park. They're really good at that. Every state has a state horse park that you can go to. So no matter where you're at, all you got to do is Google equine events and go to them. And you can see what's going on. And what a lot of people don't understand, that if you got a little kid that learns to ride and they grow up and come up through the ranks riding through, you know, grade school, junior high school, you can get, if you're a good rider, you can get a full ride scholarship to universities. In colleges, FAU's got a great university program here. Florida has got a great college program. Texas A&M, Kentucky, Maryland. It's just unbelievable the things that they have, you know, in these colleges. And boy, it'd be nice to go there and, you know, have your job be just ride horses and earn a scholarship, you know, to pay for your education, something that you love and that you're doing. And what's great is you're not in an office, you know, from 9 to 5. You're out in the hot sun, sweating and working hard from 9 to 5. You know, so it's a little bit of a trade-off. But you know, the horse industry is good. I like to see people coming out and visit with us. We had some visitors last month from Ireland, and we have a horse out here called Peanut. Victoria and Laurel Lane Farm trains the horse, and he's 29 years old, and he's been showing at Wellington for like 27 years. You know, he's an institution. He's everybody wants to see Peanut. And when they came over from Ireland, we had up there, I took him by to see him. And Victoria explained to him, you know, who he was, how old he was, you know, and everything. And I tell you what, they put it on a video. And they TikToked it back to Ireland. So now he's famous in Ireland, you know, and that was really, you know, fun to do with business here. So the other thing is that, Victoria had a girl that originally rode him when he was like a 2-year-old. And she came back, and her kids are riding Peanut now. And I said, you know, here he's got so many people, and so many people ridden him, and he's just a great horse, you know, to be around. But it just goes to show you can make your own stories when you get involved with your horse. You know, you might get a horse that likes treats and some that don't like treats, and you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do in the horse industry that it's a lifelong, you know, thing that you can do. It really is good. It's good. So, you know, I hope you can go get on your internet and check out equine events and locations in your area and see what all's going on there. Now remember, we got the Fountain of Youth coming up this weekend, and then we got the Florida Derby coming up, the Tampa Bay Derby. We got the Gotham Stakes and everything, and with the spring coming around, it's a great time to get together with friends and family, have a little get together on the weekends and watch the races or watch the horse shows or watch polo, you know, stuff like that. You can go to our website. We got some good things on there. In fact, one of the things that I'm having tonight for dinner is it's called the Kentucky Hot Brown. Man, is it good. I'm telling you, it is good. So I'm going to have that. And then next week, for next weekend's Tampa Bay Derbies that are coming up, I'm going to be doing seafood from Maryland, from Pimlico. I'm going to be doing that. But, you know, it's a good time to get out with family and friends and just socialize and sit back and relax, enjoy the summer coming up and the spring coming up, you know, and make the horse business, make the equine industry a part of your life. You know, it's really good. So I hope everybody has a great weekend. You know, go out and do something, especially get with your friends and family. Call those people you haven't talked to in a long time. Just say hi. How are they doing? You know, don't take it for granted that every day you're going to be there. Always take it to the next level. Call somebody. Even, hey, I went through a lot of medical stuff. I even called the people that I hated. And I told them, I said, I'm not in good shape, but I said, I tell you what, I might be calling you up next week and cussing you out. And then I tell people, other people, I said, I might be calling you and hugging you. So, but no, just get out there and get into the equine industry and see what you got to go, you know. So we'll talk to you next week at 2:00 on the International Equine Network on BBS Radio and TV.